Mark chapter 8. The message today is April Fools and Other Fools. I want to read you three passages and bring to your remembrance more. But first of all, Mark chapter 8. Verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Luke chapter 12. Verse 16. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he reasoned within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have not where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, who shall they be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Cut this down just a little, it's vibrating. Now, Matthew 23. Verse 13. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you enter not in yourselves, neither allow ye them that are entering in to enter. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is become so, you make him twofold more a son of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, blind guides. Verse 17, ye fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that hath sanctified the gold? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for everything contained in your word. Having read it, we are aware that it is so different from what we hear from the world. And we are thankful for this because we believe that your word is from heaven. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. We are thankful that it originated there and you sent it to earth. And you know the seriousness of the passages that we've read this morning. And because of that, our God, we pray that the gravity of them shall grip our hearts. We shall understand, our Father, that men speak to us and that you speak to us. Let us hear thy voice speaking to us today. We thank you for your goodness to us up until now, and we look to thee in faith for the future for your goodness to us. Have you not promised, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever? We thank you for that promise. So let us begin to enjoy it even now. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I am a fool. Some of you who know me are probably nodding your head and saying, we know, we know. But saying that, it is not a confession that is derogatory, but complimentary, because there are April fools and there are other fools, and I am one of the other fools. I would not use that word because God warns about calling a man a fool. But I read you scriptures when God calls man a fool. And so it's all right if I tell you about God calling men fools. And God has called me a fool. Because, as the Apostle Paul says, and I am included among those, he says, God has set forth us, the apostles, last of all. He said, we are fools for Christ's sake. Now, I am a fool, but for Christ's sake. And so it's not as you think. It's not derogatory, but it is complimentary. And for a man to say, I am a fool for Christ's sake, means that he has embraced all that the Lord Jesus teaches and has provided for mankind. How could anyone who has done such a thing be called a fool? It would seem to be the wisest possible thing that a man could do. But the Apostle Paul says, we are fools for Christ's sake. But there are fools for Christ's sake, and there are other fools, and God tells us about them as well. Listen to what God says twice in the Psalms. He says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Then, all of you who are atheists, God calls fools. This is what God calls you. There was a man in Luke chapter 12 who has been blessed in a material way, and he does not know what to do with all the abundance that has come his way. And so he plans to tear down his old barns that are too small and build greater barns and to bestow all his goods and then sit back and enjoy life and eat and drink and be merry. And God says to him, you fool. And so God calls that man a fool. And in Matthew chapter 23, the Lord Jesus is looking at those who are zealous in seeking to bring men into the kingdom of heaven, zealous to teach the word of God, and he says concerning them, you are fools and blind. And so the world is filled with fools. Fools in a derogatory way, and fools in a complimentary way. And so, if this is so, all men are fools. Worldly fools or Christian fools. And that's what you are. If you do not have Christ as your Savior, you are a worldly fool. And all of you who have trusted Christ as Savior are Christian fools. I'm thinking about April fools because there are some who, in a minor way, for light reasons, are fools. But that is of no consequence, because perhaps you have been a victim of an April Fool's joke. I have. In fact, I remember two in this meeting that tried to fool Uncle John. I have a thermos that I keep my special coffee in, and I made a mistake one day setting it by my chair. And these two stole my coffee, went into the kitchen and filled it full of salt, and came back and put it by my side. And then you know what happened when I started to drink it. And then, laughing, you see, April Fool. But it was something of no consequence, and I laugh, and they laugh, and you laugh. But an April Fool is one that has been deceived, but it's a temporary thing, it's a harmless thing, and it passes. But there are other fools who have been deceived, and their deception is not temporary, and it is not harmless, but it is painful. It is eternal. And those are the fools that are worldly fools. And so the Bible itself says, if you trust Christ as your Savior, you are a fool. And if you do not trust Christ as your Savior, you are a fool. And so it's simply a decision whether you want to be a worldly fool or a Christian fool. Now, you must understand this, that you who have trusted the Lord as Savior, you probably thought that everything would change, that all the pain and the suffering, all the worries that you had, would disappear once you became a Christian. But the Lord Jesus never gave that teaching when he preached the gospel of the grace of God. This is what he said. There was a young man who rushed up to the Savior and he said, Lord, I will follow you whithersoever thou goest. And the Lord Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. And he said, well, I will follow you, but allow me to first go home and bury my father. He said, leave the dead to bury their own dead. Go thou and publish abroad the kingdom of God. And another said to him, Lord, I will follow thee, but allow me to go and say farewell to my loved ones. The Lord Jesus said, he that hath placed his hand upon the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And so all of you who say, well, I'm thinking about becoming a Christian, he has warned you in advance that the Christian life is not one of security in this world, but one of insecurity. And it's not one who brings peace to your heart. It will separate you from your family. If they are not Christians and you trust Christ as Savior, that does not mean that they are included as children of God. But it separates you and your family. And Christ says, I expect that. If you love father or mother or brother or sister or child more than you love me, you are not worthy of me. And so this is what it means to embrace Christianity. When the Apostle Paul, on the road to Damascus, saw the Lord Jesus in heaven, he did not know what was going to befall him. And this is what the Savior said from heaven, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. In Revelation chapter 2, he is speaking to the church at Smyrna. And he says, fear not the things that are coming upon you. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I shall give thee the crown of life. And in Acts chapter 12, one of the 12 apostles, James, is arrested and put into prison and beheaded before he can spread the good news of the gospel. And the Lord Jesus does absolutely nothing for him. And in the book of Revelation, John on the Isle of Patmos is cast away from all those that he loves. He is exiled, and there he must wait until the Lord decides what to do with his life. And I'm thinking this, if you want to become a Christian and accept all of those conditions, you are a fool. And some worldly individuals know that. There was a rich young ruler, and he came to the Savior, and he said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And in brief, the Savior said this. He said, "Sacrifice everything you have and give to the poor, and come follow me, and you shall have treasure in heaven." And that worldly man was too smart. He was no fool. He was not going to embrace Christianity. Why? Because it would cost him everything that he had. And so he turned his back and walked away from Christ. But it says this, he went away sorrowing. Why is that? He had an opportunity to have what Christ offered or to reject what Christ offered. And certainly, if you have a decision, then you should rejoice because you have chosen the way you want to live, and that should make you joyful. But he went away sorrowful. But if you do trust Christ as Savior, he says that you are a fool, but that is a fool looked at from a worldly perspective. How two people look at the same thing, ever so different, because one of them looks at it and says, "No," and another looks at it and says, "Yes." I remember there was this Catholic nun who had sacrificed her life to be a nurse among the lepers, and her whole life was spent there in those horrible environments with those loathsome lepers. And a friend of hers came and saw the job that she did. And this friend said, "I wouldn't have that job for $1 million. And she said, "Neither would I." And so the Lord Jesus tells you just what sacrifice you have to make if you're going to trust him as Savior. And the world looks at you and he says, "You are a fool." And others have told me that I am a fool, and I give you something of what they said. This is what a man told me years ago when I was just starting out. He knew that I wanted to be a preacher. And he said, "Well, what church do you have?" I said, "I have no given church." He said, "Well, what guarantee do you have?" I said, "I have no guarantee." He said, "You're a fool." He said, "If you go and find a big church, they will give you a home, they will give you a car, they will give you a guaranteed salary, and you mean that you are foregoing all of those things to serve God the way you think he should be served?" He said, "You are a fool." And I've remained a fool to this day. And so that is the world looking upon you. And that is so different from Christ looking upon you. When he challenged that rich young ruler to follow him, he said, "Sell what thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." And so this man was calling me a fool for not worrying about having treasure on earth. But he had given no thought about having treasure in heaven. And so I remained a fool for Christ for all these years, and I've never desired to change. The Lord Jesus said to his apostles when so many were leaving, because the theology he gave was getting more and more severe, and it says, upon this, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And the Lord Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will you also go away? And thank God for this utterance of Peter. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we have believed and we are sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so the Lord Jesus said, have I not chosen you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? And so Peter had thought through the whole situation, and he chose Christ to the exclusion of the world. And that is why I read that verse of Scripture to you. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now answer me that question, O worldly fool. What shall it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? And answer this, once you have lost it, what can you give in exchange for your soul? How can you get it back? It's impossible to get it back. And so there are worldly fools and there are Christian fools. And the Lord Jesus warns you who will not embrace him what the consequences are. In John chapter 8, he is speaking to those that are arguing with him. And he said, God in the Old Testament has promised a Messiah that's going to come, a Savior, a Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And he says, if you believe not that I am he, that one spoken of in the Old Testament, he said, you shall die in your sins. Yes, you may reject Christ. You do not have to receive him into your life. But if you do not, he tells you the consequences, you shall die in your sins. You know why people are afraid to die? They do not know what is on the other side. And if they have an inkling of what's on the other side, they are terrified because they know that they have to face their Creator in their sins. And if a man of God of the stature of Isaiah says, woe is me when he sees God, what shall your cry be when you in your sins stand before God? Woe is me. Indeed, you will cry out as that rich man did in hell. Because this is what Abraham tells him when he had a chance to believe that Jesus was the Christ, to embrace the ways of God, but he did not. And it said that there was a beggar named Lazarus set at his gate, and he was in pitiful condition, and the dogs came and licked his sores. And it said eventually, both of them died. He said, the beggar died, Lazarus, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That's what happened when he died. And it said, the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he looked across the chasm, and he saw Abraham with Lazarus in his bosom. And he said, Father Abraham, I beseech thee, send Lazarus that he may dip his finger in water and touch it to my tongue, because I am tormented in this flame. O worldly fool, this is what happens when you do not receive Christ as your Savior. Because you receive your good things in this life. That's the message from heaven. He said, give me relief from this suffering. But Abraham said, son, he said, remember, you in your lifetime receive your good things, and Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted in my bosom, and you are in torments. And he said, and besides all this, there is a great gulf fixed between us and you, and it's impossible for you to come over to us. And also, no one of us can come down and show mercy to you. Now, who is the fool? The worldly one who enjoyed all his good things in this life? Or Lazarus, who did without good things in this life, but now he is in heaven, in the bosom of Abraham. And I have a bosom that is more precious than Abraham's, and that is the bosom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, the beloved apostle, knows what it is to rest upon that bosom on earth. And someday he shall rest in that bosom in heaven. And also, God's children know what it is to suffer on earth. But I promise you that in heaven, that suffering will end. And God's children on earth, so many know poverty, but in heaven there are riches. And so what happened was this. That rich man gained the whole world, but he lost his own soul. And in hell, he wanted that soul back. But it was impossible for even Abraham, the father of the faithful, to do anything for him, because he had made a decision. And it's impossible for Jesus to do anything for you if you are in that place of torment, because you in your lifetime received your good things, and you in your lifetime had this opportunity to trust Christ as Savior, and you did not. The Lord Jesus said, yet a little while is the light among you. Walk while you have the light, that darkness overtake you not. He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Yet a little while is the light among you. And while you have that light, walk in the light, that you may become a son of light. Because God has given us this awesome responsibility to say yes or no to the light that he gives us from heaven. And if you accept that light from heaven, you're a fool, because all the things that Christ has warned you about shall happen to you in this life. He gives no physical guarantees down here. But then he does give eternal spiritual guarantees for heaven. And some down here are Christians, and they are better off than others, and they are not persecuted, and they have not the ailments and the sicknesses and the sufferings that other Christians do. But God determines that. And James was cast into prison and put to death, and Peter was cast into prison and miraculously freed from prison. And so it may be suffering, or it may be happiness in this life and in the life to come. That is determined by Christ. When the Lord Jesus was talking to Peter, he said to him, he said, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to walk. He said, but when you shall become old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another man shall gird you and lead you where you do not want to go. This he said, signifying by what manner of death he would glorify God. Again, death. But it was a death that would glorify God. And Peter said, well, what about John, that beloved disciple? And the Savior said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. And so for some of you, if you trust Christ as Savior, it may be that you live a life of relative peace and joy, free from suffering. Or it may be that your life shall be like John the Baptist, and you will be beheaded. or like James and you will be put to death, or like the Apostle Paul, and you may read of all his sufferings in the second epistle to Corinthians. He says, all of these things are the things that can befall you. And so the Lord Jesus warns you. He tells you that these things can happen to you. They may not. But if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul, is it rewarding to be a worldly fool? But if you lose everything in this world, but open your eyes in heaven, in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, with eternal joy and peace to be yours, is it worth to be a fool for Christ? You say, of course it is. And so we're all fools. If we choose the path that Christ gives us and there is suffering and uncertainty, then the world looks upon us and he says, fools. But if you do not choose eternal life that Christ offers you with the sufferings down here, but with joy to come, then you are a fool. And so we are all fools, worldly fools or Christian fools. I am a fool, but thank God, a fool for Christ. Will you join me in being a Christian fool? Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that in this world of uncertainty and darkness, you have given us the Word of God. You have left us in no doubt about the consequences concerning the lives that we live. A life that looks unto Christ and is saved is a life that the world would call a life of a fool. But our God, you have shown us that world to come, the final outcome, and that the world calls fools for Christ. And so, our God, we rejoice that we are willing to be fools for Christ for a little while, because in heaven we shall see who are fools. We thank you for the invitation that Christ has given. We thank you that he came from heaven to save sinners. And we are thankful that he saved the chiefest of sinners, and he will save the rest of us sinners. And so, our God, let us trust him, and then let us all rejoice that we are fools for Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. The meeting is over.